Father, without you, we can do nothing that is actually going to produce good fruit. But with you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we run to you, Lord. We ask that you would just release grace to us tonight, that this word would come alive and bring healing and restoration to the body of Christ. Not only for us here, but for those who will be listening and, God willing, receiving what God is trying to give to them, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This particular book, called Chosen for Greatness, came across my path quite a while back, and I believe I read it last year, and then the Lord said, you didn't read it enough. You're not catching on yet. But if you recall last week, we were talking about when we're not in our right mind. Well, I'd like to give you some background on that comment, because a lot of times we don't understand why we act the way we do, why we react the way we do. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to take a peek at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And the Amplified and the King James would probably read very close to this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude. How many have ever seen that if somebody is trying to give you insight, and they've got an attitude, and they're trying to help you, all you can see is the attitude, and you don't really hear their words. All you get is, and what do you do? Most people shut down. Forget it. I'm not taking this word because, bro. And the Greek word for mind here is proneo. And it means to exercise the mind to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion, by implication, to be mentally disposed more or less earnestly in a certain direction, intensively to interest oneself in which you and I will begin to see obedience, to be of the same mind, that is to agree together, to cherish the same view and be harmonious, etc. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. And he's making them declare that they have the mind of Christ. Paul is declaring, I have the mind of Christ. Now, if Paul had it, say it. If Paul had it, so can I. I've got the same Holy Ghost, the same baptism, the same Holy Ghost fire burning in me. So why can't I have the mind of Christ? It's up to me. Now, if you want to go with your carnal mind, you can continue. But I'm going to get a little hairier as we go forth. We Christians actually do have within us the very thoughts and mind of the Lord. We have a problem. How is humanity to redeem its right mind? How are we ever to remember that we have been chosen for greatness? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, when you want to offer God worship, present yourself. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, transformation, changed, right? by the renewing of your mind. In other words, what you've got up here has been established by whom? Who established this up here? Come on, how did you get your education? You got it from mom, dad, grandparents, great-grandparents. Okay? And a multitude of teachers, preachers, school, friends, relatives, blah, blah, blah. Some you took, some you didn't. So that's how you got this. And you got it from literature. Some godly, some
ungodly.
All right. So you're going to be a byproduct of all those things. Yes or no? And the opinions of? The opinions of? Others. How many base their whole strategy of how to go forward? Well, I wonder what they're going to say. Oh, well, I better do this so I don't get their flack. Yes or no? Or we strategize in order not to get rejected. Of course, that's never happened to you guys, but I had it. I was a perfect Ahab. I knew exactly what to do and why to do it because I couldn't handle any more pain. So I made sure that everybody was happy no matter what it cost me. And what happens to that kind of person? What happens? Depression. Oppression. Combinations thereof. So on the outside you've got a smile, and on the inside you've got what? Pain. What else?
War.
Excellent. You can have rage, but you won't show it because it's not godly after all. You can have disappointment and bitterness. It's up to you. You can carry on all those things and keep on going with ever, never, never connecting your word with His word. Your thoughts with His thoughts. Your mind with His mind. And God wants it transformed. So when I declare, like Paul, that I have the mind of Christ, how do I get it? How do I establish? Well, let's say there's a problem. Guests are coming for dinner. I have to make up my mind. Am I going to try to show off or be myself? Am I going to put on a spread that I can't afford to impress them? Or be myself? Can I put the whole family in jeopardy just to show off to make sure that I look as good as the proverbial Joneses? Catching on? Verse 12 again, verse 2 says, the word for renewing in Romans 12:2 really means the renovation. And it means a complete change. To renew, according to Webster, the dictionary, by the way, is to make new, or as if new again. To make young, fresh, or strong again. To bring back into good condition. To cause it to exist again. To cause it to exist again. Yes? To reestablish, to begin again, to take up again, to resume, to go over again, to say again or to repeat. Paul admonishes us to renew our minds. The English prefix means again, or means again. For example, you cannot renew a magazine subscription that you did not have before. We had His mind and heard His mind in the beginning. We lost our minds. His mind in the fall. What fall? We reclaim our mind, His mind, at the cross. Get it? Galatians 3:13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who that is hanged on a tree. Calvary's cross. That the blessings of Abraham might come into the Gentiles, every ethnic group, through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promises of the Spirit through faith. So if you compare Genesis 12:1 and verse 3 to Galatians 3:29, you'll get the same picture. Jesus reversed the curse. Our heavenly David has completely defeated the enemy and recovered all. 1 Samuel 30, verse 18 and 19. Now, Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Yes? Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the true light, which lights every man that cometh unto the into the world. John 1:9. Your new birth was also a resurrection. Yes? A quickening. He raised you from the death of your trespasses and sin and relit your spirit. His finished work restores your right mind and renewed your fellowship with the Father. The spirit of a man is that part of man which is God conscious. So, I know that's a lot of words, but I'm trying to give you an understanding. When Adam rejected God, the lights went out. Right or wrong? When Jesus went to the cross and he spilled his blood, what happened to the lights? They went back on. When you and I accept him, and we accept his spirit, and he infuses us with his spirit, the lights are back on in me and us. All of us. Okay? Now, was Adam like you and me? No. Think about it. Do you have the mind to be able to name every animal, declaring its nature with its name? Think about it. He was designed never to die. He had incredible knowledge of the universe. And it took hundreds of years for the enemy to kill him. There was so much light left in him, even with the switch turned off. He was not like you and me. We are a byproduct of the fall, and if you look at the history from Genesis, they used to live almost 1,000 years. Now, if they could live almost for 1,000 years, that means they had a capacity upstairs that you and I don't have. But Jesus restored it. And if we go to him, we can get it back. Now, this is not something I can prove. Well, maybe I could. I might still have the pictures. I met a doctor friend who was a brain surgeon in Washington State many years back. And he taught us about the pineal gland. And if you take a normal person and they are put into an autopsy, the pineal gland is a little tiny gland at the top of the head. Am I right? Somewhere around here. Top of your head. Near the soft spot. What they discovered is when you take a spirit-filled person that's alive in Christ, developed and matured in his knowledge of God, something happens to the cadaver when they inspect the brain. To the big surprise, the pineal gland literally starts growing tentacles like a tree. And it reconnects all the gray matter and gets it going. Gray matter represents what? the part of the brain that's not used. So for a Holy Ghost filled person who uses his gifts and stays before God, he will actually be reestablished with what he has lost by the power of the Holy Spirit and the ability, even in the carnal nature, the mind, to be restored. And that's awesome. And I can remember when he gave that lesson, and he gave us some pictures, and I believe I still have them. But the bottom line was, oh my God, I better get a new opinion of Adam. I better get a new opinion of me. I better get a new opinion of Christ. Why was he so capable of doing all the things that he did in 3.5 years and shake the whole world? Because he didn't have the mind of Adam. He was called the second Adam in the Word of God. If he's the second Adam, that means that he can duplicate where the other one failed. He didn't fail. He didn't fall. He stayed true, and we have an open door to get what he had. So can you have the mind of Christ? Is it going to be done in a snap moment? No. It's going to be procedural. It's going to be a little bit at a time. And God will have his way. Just a couple more scriptures. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing and regeneration and renewing. What is regeneration and renewing? It's to do over something that you lost. Amen? Now, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also will glorify. Amen? Couple more. Philippians 1:27. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, the redeemed have been reconnected with their predetermined calling and purpose in salvation. We get our right mind back at salvation. But it starts in seed form. Your faith started in seed form. Your mind and your renewed mind gets again. What? Seed form. It starts small and you build on it. And it goes on. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1, 2, and 11. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye would be ignorant how that our forefathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses, the mediator of the law, in the clouds and in the sea. Now all these things happen unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world or the age are to come. And it goes on. What I was hoping to be able to convey to you is that when you began your walk with Christ, and you were born again, and filled with the Holy Ghost, it's the starting point. It's not the finish line. It's not the finish line. It's a starting point. When I remember getting the Holy Spirit, getting some of the gifts, starting to operate in some of those gifts, and being kind of, not proud, but kind of, oh my God, I'm more than I ever was. And then, of course, a few years later, meeting my old pastor who drove me cuckoo, because he was bouncing on me, hey, what are you doing? Laying down on the job. What are you doing resting with what you got? And I'm going to say the same thing to you. What are you doing resting on your laurels? Are you happy where you are? Enjoy the trip. But if you're not, And if you're hungry for more, then when you get the concept that Jesus wants so much more of himself in you, you're not going to be happy where you are. You're not going to be satisfied with what you got. You're going to be knocking on his door, and you're going to be knocking and knocking and saying, how about the rest? I want it all. Close your eyes. Father, I gave him a lot to chew. But now, Lord Jesus, without your grace, nothing is going to happen. But I'm asking for your grace and your anointing to be upon them, that they mature and they get hungry for more of you. And you're the only one that can put that hunger in there so that they can become all that you've called them to become. And that they can declare with boldness and in faith, I have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to think carnally. I'm going to think like the Holy Ghost tells me to think. In Jesus' name. Amen? Share some hugs with each other.